If you enjoy podcasts like this, you should check out our other shows on Health Podcast Network. For example, Better with Dr. Erica, hosted by Dr. Erica, provides support and guidance in navigating stress-related challenges to transform your relationship to self-care. Each episode arms you with the tools needed to be better, do better, and live better. There was an incredible episode that you should check out called Touch and Connections as Tools for Healing and Better Mental Health. In this episode, her guest breaks down ways to use physical touch as a form of healing for trauma and grief. Check out Better with Dr. Erica on your favorite podcast platform or visit healthpodcastnetwork.com.
I'm not saying it's not without work and a lot of grit and perseverance and, you know, challenges, but at least they're your challenges that you get to overcome and then you own it. So it's an exciting time to be an entrepreneur in healthcare.
Welcome to the Nurse Wellness Podcast, empowering nurses to manage stressors so they can intentionally reconnect with their purpose, optimize their wellness, and ultimately show up in the world the way they want to be seen. I'm your host, nurse practitioner Wendy Garvin Mayo, your stress solution strategist. In this podcast, you'll receive actionable stress management tips, insightful interviews, and strategies that focus on inspiring you to be your best, do your best, and give your best. With that, let's get started. Welcome to the Wellness Platform, Dr. Dee Pasquale. How are you today?
Great. Thank you for having me, Wendy. Excited to be here.
You are more than welcome. I'm so excited to talk to you about what you're doing and the impact you're making in healthcare, which is very different, but I love it. So tell everyone a little bit about yourself.
Sure. I'm a family doc. I live in Arlington, Virginia, right outside DC with my four young children and my husband. We have a one-year-old, four-year-old, five-year-old, and eight-year-old. So life is really crazy. But my true passion is actually, honestly, helping nurse practitioners become entrepreneurs. And specifically, I started a company that helps with the collaboration piece of that. So in the states that still require collaborating physicians, we go out and find amazing, nice, wonderful physicians who enjoy collaborating and are really supportive of NPs. And I get to play matchmaker all day and tie the two parties together, which is super fun. So we're collaborating docs. We've been around 3 years and we're just loving helping NPs improve access to care across the whole country by letting them have the ability to do that sort of on their own. And it's exciting to see the things people come up with business-wise, practice-wise. So it's, yeah, gets me going every morning, jumping out of bed, I'll say.
Yes, I love that. I love to hear an MD say they love nurse practitioners. You don't really get to hear that very often as a nurse practitioner. And I would love to just hear about your experience with NPs, because I know like we're oversaturated now in the healthcare system. What was your experience working with nurse practitioners?
My first boss ever out of residency was Lisa Covell, a veteran nurse practitioner in a little teeny tiny clinic in inner city DC. She was my rock. She was the best boss I've probably ever had. She knew everything clinically, but like common sense clinically, like we all know how to treat diabetes, but let's break down what our patients, you know, can access and how to really make an impact with our patients. So to this day, I'm still really close with Lisa. And I sat next to Teresa Aquaviva, who was another veteran NP. So our clinic was very much run by NPs. And I was like the struggling new, you know, out of residency person, like, you know, they didn't teach this in the, you know, our didactic part. So I every day would go to them for help, and they were so gracious helping me. They could have said, figure it out. But, you know, they were really, I honest to goodness, like I was so shaped by the two of them. So that is why I'm forever grateful to NPs. Like they stood by me and helped me through a lot of crazy times starting out. So
Yeah, I love that. And, you know, I always say I'm a nurse practitioner. I was a nurse, worked with many physicians, PAs. There's room for all of us. I mean, right now we're in crisis mode in healthcare, and I think we should just all respect everyone's scope of practice. So I just love that you had such a great experience with NPs. Can you tell us a bit about your medical experience as an MD? Like, what did you do? And then how did you transition out of that into collaborating physicians?
Sure. Yeah, I did bread and butter family med. So I worked in a federally qualified health center in Washington, D.C., a community health center called Unity Healthcare. They have about 25 sites. So starting out, I was in a neighborhood clinic and then also the D.C. jail. They ran the medical care there. It was very eye-opening. I actually loved working there in corrections part-time. Then I kind of made my rounds with Unity Healthcare at a couple different community sites and worked my way up to medical director of one of the big sites. So I think FQHCs, federally qualified health centers, are such great, it's such a great place to work for so many reasons, but everyone there is so mission driven and really, you know, cares about the patients and goes the extra mile. So, you know, I loved my time with Unity. Then I think I am an entrepreneur at heart. So I sort of got the itch to pursue other things. I can't even tell you how many crazy things I've done, from wound care to urgent cares to a lot of telemedicine. This is kind of a funny thing, but I had four computers sort of lined up on my desk before telemedine was cool, before COVID. And I was on like four different platforms because you'd only get a couple clients a day. So you had to kind of just be sitting, waiting. And if a patient came, then you'd like shut the other three off, do the patient, then turn them all back on. I was very aggressive to make my mortgage payment and do telemed. So that was interesting. Then the collaboration piece kind of, I hate to say, like, fell in my lap. I was collaborating with several nurse practitioners in Virginia, helping their practices as their collaborator. I just met them online and I loved it. I loved teaching. So it was a great fit just on the side of all the other strange things I was doing. But word got out. I think actually someone posted my information perhaps on a Facebook group. So a lot of people were contacting me to be their collaborator. So many, so I couldn't do it. I mean, it was just, A, it would be unsafe, and B, there are caps to states of how many you can help. So I didn't want to go crazy with that. And I thought, well, I still want to help you out. So I sort of started to connect people with other physicians I knew and trusted. And that's where collaborating docs really took off, just sort of, as I say, like in my inbox blowing up with people asking for help. It was like, I better do something. I didn't know how hard it was for nurse practitioners to find doctors who wanted to do that. I thought every doctor was like me and would enjoy helping someone else. I didn't know there was like a stigma or just,
oh yeah,
I didn't, but now I get it. Now I really get it. So it's nice. Now we have a great stable of like-minded doctors who enjoy collaborating. So it's all come together, thankfully.
That's awesome. And you work with physicians and nurse practitioners across the country. Is that correct?
Yep. We're in all states. Well, you know, independent states don't need it. Although we do have clients in independent states sometimes, mm-hmm. when they just want to have like a sounding board or someone they can call up with questions. So yeah, we're in all 50 states. We have, I believe to date, about 1500 doctors. So we do cover, you know, every scope, every state of practice, which is nice.
And what's the process? So say I'm a nurse practitioner, I'm thinking about opening a practice, or I have a practice, I want a collaborating physician, I find you. What's that process like? What's the time frame between you and I speaking and me being able to go in the clinic and actually practice?
We try to make it as on the timeline of the client, but if a client is like, I'm ready to go, we guarantee our match. We guarantee a physician within 14 days, and 97% of the time it's within a week. So we're very quick about it because we've cultivated a great group of physicians who like doing it. So it's more a matter of calling them up and seeing if they're available and interested. We have, I'm very happy to say our onboarding team at Collaborating Docs, we have 6 full-time nurse practitioners who do all of that. So if you're interested, you would talk to one of our nurse practitioners about your practice, what you're trying to do, your background, to really make it a true matchmaking experience. We want to know like the personality, the, you know, the unique things you want out of your doctor, perhaps. I want an old retired doc who has a bunch of time on his hands, or I want a newer grad who knows all the latest, you know, research. Everyone has their own, you know, idea of what they're looking for. So we get to know the client, and then we look at our database of physicians and find the right match. And if we don't have the right match, we go out and find them. It's very rewarding to see, like, especially 6 months, 12 months, 18 months later, talk to people and they're like, this doc is the best, you know, they've really made an impact on even my business. They gave a lot of good advice to get things where they're at now. So a lot of our physicians are entrepreneurs as well, and a lot have had their own practices. So they kind of know the tricks of getting patients in the door and how to make it really work financially, which is nice.
Yeah, I love that. And you are like a real matchmaker. Like, let me do an assessment. What are you looking for? Then you go find it. Do we have the database? No, let's go find it for you, which is amazing. And for collaborating physicians, I know sometimes you just kind of have to have a piece of paper where it's, you know, you have a collaborating physician, you have a piece of paper, which is great. Does your program require anything else, like touch points, or how do you guys build or promote like engagement and really try to cultivate the relationship between the nurse practitioner and physician?
That's a great question. When I set out to do this, I was starting to learn that collaborating had sort of a bad reputation, that a lot of physicians are out to just prey on nurse practitioners, overcharge, underdeliver, they can't even find the doctor if they have a question, you know, horrible. That's what I was hearing from a lot of people. So starting Collaborating Docs, I said there are 3 things that I will require, even if the state doesn't care, doesn't ask for it, we are doing it. So one is the doc is available during normal business hours. So you can't just ghost someone and like disappear off the face of the earth. Like, you have to be reachable during the daytime with if your NPS questions. Second, a monthly video chat must be done no matter what, even if your state doesn't talk about that. I don't really care. Like, that, to build a relationship, you have to talk, and ideally face to face. So the video is a requirement. And the third is just there are 4 things. The third is chart review. We require 10% of chart reviews to be done monthly, again, even if the state doesn't dictate that. And it's not to be confrontational or like argumentative about what's in the chart. It's to be giving helpful feedback. Like, I see you have a lot of diabetic patients. You know, there's a podiatrist that just came to town, you know, you might want, you know, he's a great guy, you could refer to him, you know, whatever it might be. The physician can then give feedback if they get a better sense of what's happening in the practice from the charts. And then the last is any state requirements. Some states have on-site visits, like Georgia has a quarterly on-site, Tennessee has on-site, Nevada. So we have an in-house legal team that keeps up with those requirements, and we'll let the client and the doctor know, you know, what is needed.
That's very cool. I love that. It's very comprehensive. So it's not just, you know, here's your signed paper and, you know, you're good. You're really trying to cultivate the relationship, which I think makes what you're doing very different. And I think as nurse practitioners, I'm speaking for all of us, we like it, right? We love that. You're kind of like the quarterback. So if we have a problem, we can come to you or your staff to say, this is what's happening. What practices are nurse practitioners starting? Like, I'm sure you guys keep a database of what type of practices. And I definitely have to talk to you about DPC. So I want to talk about that. But like, what type of, is it all like primary care? Is it med spas? I know that's like a big thing now, but what are you seeing?
We see everything. We see a lot of med spas, just, and a lot of the med spas are sort of like mini med spas where the NP might work at the hospital or a clinic somewhere else, but she has her own thing that's maybe nights and weekends, which I love. So it's like a part-time business on the side that she can run her way and not, you know, do it the way she wants. So a lot of that, including IV hydration, sort of as part of that package of wellness and beauty sort of thing. We do have a lot of primary care patients, providers, sorry, who some go the direct primary care route, others take insurances. We get a lot of clients in rural areas who they are the provider now for their community, which is so great for improving access to care. Some urgent care, a lot of psychiatry, especially with telemed, so telepsych, going on their own, so having a cash practice or taking insurances, we see both. And then some people come up with like the craziest off the wall, like niche things, you know, like specific just postnatal care, like really focusing on lactation and like the experience after birth, which is great, or like a specialized wound care. Someone just came to us wanting to do wound care with hyperbarics. I thought, my goodness, that's very niche, but great. So we'll help anyone with anything. It might be a little hard to find a doc for certain things, but we will make it happen. So
I love that. And can you tell everyone, I know I said DPC, direct primary care, but can you tell everyone the difference between that and like a traditional primary care clinic?
Sure. So direct primary care, typically the client or the patient would pay like a monthly subscription or an annual subscription, cash without their insurance, to then have very full access and easy access to the provider. You can call them, text them, usually call, email them perhaps, or just have very easy scheduling of appointments via telemed or in person. So it gives a lot of flexibility. It's very like concierge, you know, the client is really getting like excellent care because they have such good opportunity to meet with the provider. It's great for providers, I think, just not to have to deal with credentialing and billing, which is, you have to employ, I mean, honestly, like a full-time person to keep up with that. So if you're trying to do something small on your own, it's a lot. It adds a lot of expense if you're going to have a biller, whether on-site or even off-site. I mean, you're still going to have to pay the person to run all that. And then Blue Cross decides not to pay you for 3 months, or you're chasing money down all the time. It can be very thankless. So I think direct primary care is a great model for entrepreneurs going out on their own, not dealing with all those headaches. And patients love it. I mean, you're paying for the access, you're paying for having someone by your side when you need them. And, you know, time is money. So people are willing to pay to have a ease of use. I think it's a great model for sure.
Yeah, I agree. I was just introduced to it. Do you find like a lot of your, or many or any of your collaborating physicians have a preference, like if they're going to do a direct primary care model versus insurance where it's a little more regulated? Do you guys do you have any people on your team who's kind of like, oh, I don't know about that? Or
we don't see much hesitation. No, not really. Usually, I haven't really noticed that. Physicians, typically, they just want to make sure they understand the scope of whatever the practice is, like, okay, what exact procedures are they doing? What exact, like, what's their bread and butter patient, type of patient, just age of patient, you know, common conditions. Those are the sort of things the docs kind of want to have a better handle on. But whether it's cash or insurance, I have never really noticed people having a real strong preference, luckily. No. Yeah.
That's good. Have you seen, because I'm an oncology nurse practitioner, so I have to ask, have you seen any NPs open in oncology practices?
We've had an inquiry, actually in the last month, we did have an inquiry, someone asking if we had an oncologist in her state, but that was the first time ever. So I will say it's not super common, but I think it's great if, you know, that's a real niche thing. If you can, you know, branch out and have your own practice in that way, why not? That's fabulous.
Yeah. Yeah, that's something I've been thinking about doing more so like symptom management, advocacy, the psychosocial, such a need, but I don't see anyone doing it. So like, you know, so.
Literally this one lady was the first person in over 3 years that has come to us for it. Wow. So yeah, I don't think it's too common, but that's great. If I think that it would be an exciting, it kind of kills me when people come to us with the same old thing again and again, like I'm just doing everything, primary, urgent care, aesthetics, everything. Well, yeah. It's going to be hard to market everything. Just pick something.
Right. One thing, what do they say? The fortunes and the focus, right?
Some people need a little focus. Yes.
Yeah. What other services do you offer? Do you offer like NPs who may like have the idea, like I want to open my practice, but you know, like you said, marketing, right? Like how do I market this thing? Or do you provide consultation for like, well, what should I hone in on? I don't know like what to do. I have all these ideas. Do you offer that type of service as well? Or is it just matching?
The actual service is just matching officially. I actually read a book called Traction when we were first starting out that was all about like, find what you do well and do just that. And don't get distracted by adding on credentialing services and, you know, business consulting and all that. I'll say a little caveat though, because we do employ solely nurse practitioners to do the getting to know you part of the process. They're very smart and they know a lot about all of these different scopes that people go into. So they'll give you a friendly nudge or some golden nuggets like, oh, you want to do everything in 5 states. So like, let's focus on 1 state. And so we give a lot of unsolicited business advice, but it's only meant to help people out and give them a little more of a structured plan. People can do whatever they want. We're not going to stop them. But we, you know, if anyone books a call with one of our reps, at least you'll get some knowledge tidbits based on, you know, their experiences and other people they've talked to. So that's can be helpful.
Yeah. And you also put a lot of stuff on social media too, like educational things. And I follow you and I'm like, oh, this is really good. And I know on your website, you have something called Services NPs Love. Can you talk to us a little bit about that?
Yeah. We're proud to host sort of a good go-to resource for open to anybody. It's freely open on our website. If you go there, collaboratingdocs.com, and we've broken it into categories. So if you are thinking of starting a practice, you might want to speak with one of the business consulting people or companies, or we have everything under the sun, EMR companies, marketing companies, SEO, everything. We're adding a podcast, Andy's podcast to it. So we're always adding to it. Just so it's like a one-stop shop, you can get some great tip or great, I should say resources and services that you could reach out. It's cultivated from our clients. So if a client says, oh, I use so-and-so marketing or us, you know, we do our own vetting. And then if enough people say, oh, we like them, we'll put them on the site. If someone complains or had a bad experience, we now pull them off. So, you know, whoever's up there, quite a few nurse practitioners have already used them and liked them, and no complaints about them yet. So it's kind of a living, breathing thing on there, which is good to keep it fresh and updated at all, you know, constantly.
No, that's good. It's a nice resource. Now, if there's a nurse practitioner listening right now who's thinking about opening a practice, what are some key things they should consider maybe prior to calling you, right? And we don't want to waste time, but like, what are some things they can kind of consider on their own, you know, before opening a practice or considering getting a collaborating physician?
I think the number one thing people should do, very few do it, I think people should spend time finding someone a few steps ahead of them in the process that's having success. And it's hard to do. I think that's why people don't do it. It's very challenging. Like, you have a vision of, well, I want to have this Botox clinic and make X amount of money. And, you know, you have it in your head, but how do I find someone who's like doing that in the real world? And it's doable. I recommend looking a state or two away from your current state, because you don't want to have to, it would be awkward talking to a future competitor. They may even lead you astray, God forbid. So talk to someone totally disconnected from your community or state. And I would look on medical review sites. Like, even I look on Yelp to find my children's pediatrician. That's where I found them. So you can just type, you know, medical spa or Botox clinic or whatever, and see people like in a nearby state, see reviews. If they're getting a lot of good reviews, they're probably successful and have a bit of a following. And then don't be afraid to offer something. It's great. All of us who can find mentors that just do it out of the goodness of their heart. But if it's a busy, successful healthcare entrepreneur, they may just not have, not be willing to sacrifice their limited free time for the good of whatever. So you may want to say, you know, hey, I can afford $100 an hour to talk every other week for an hour. And the amount you'll learn from that person, even though it's, you know, you're paying for the help, you'll make thousands based on that $100 call. So that's probably my biggest point of advice for someone starting out, even to just go through, not how to tell me how to set everything up, just like, do you like it? Like, if you did it again, would you do it again? You may find out what you're trying to get in is a very bad idea. Maybe they hate it and they're just trying to find their way out of it. So I think I have been lucky in that way of finding good people that are a few steps ahead of what I'm trying to do, just not in the exact same niche, obviously, but similar experiences. And it takes you so far. So I would just leave it at finding a good mentor, not being afraid to pay them for their time.
Yeah, I think that's so important as nurse practitioners, nurses, healthcare professionals. I think you have to have a different mindset, right? When you think about paying for coaching and mentorship. I think that's how I've been so successful. My mentor, Dr. Avis Jones DeWeaver, like, changed my whole life, you know, just in terms of being an entrepreneur. But it's something that we have to get over if we want to move forward. I mean, we pay for our education, right? Same thing. Yeah. So we definitely have to do that. And where do you see your business in, let's say, 5 years?
We want to be a household name for nurse practitioners. So, you know, a lot of people get on calls with, I wish I knew about this service 5 years ago. You know, like, there's still a lot of, I didn't even know there was a place to turn to find a doc that would help me and be nice about it and not overcharge me. So I just hope to increase entrepreneurs in the nurse practitioner world. If this is the roadblock, which I think it is for a lot of people, like, I just don't know any physician to help, so I can't really do this. And that's the worst, you know, we do not ever want that to be the block. Can't help you with getting your, you know, mortgage on your new office space, but at least don't let the doctor be the problem in getting going. So
right. Take that pain point away, which I love. If anyone's listening and they want to get in contact with you, how can they contact you?
I'd say our website's probably the best, collaboratingdocs.com, or you can just Google Collaborating Docs and we come up in Google. So you can find us that way. But yeah, our NPs, they love to talk to people. Even if you're just at the very beginning and haven't found your mentor yet, that's okay. They'll talk to you. They can be a quasi mentor at least for 30 minutes and, you know, get to know you and talk about options. We really do guide a lot of people, like, at least in the right direction. And then when you have all the pieces together, come back and we'll get the doc for them. But yeah, we would love to help anybody out there that's sort of thinking about doing something like this. give you that little push in the right direction. That's great.
So is that like a free a complimentary consultation? Oh, that's wonderful. Yeah. That's great.
It's a complimentary consult. So yeah.
Awesome. I love that. And before we wrap up, or I take you through the rapid fire, if that's okay with you, any last words for our listeners?
I just say, you know, I think healthcare is creating a lot of burnout, as we all know. So if you are feeling that burnout, just strike out on your own. It's so much better. It's so much better. I'm not saying it's not without work and a lot of grit and perseverance and, you know, challenges, but at least they're your challenges that you get to overcome and then you own it. So it's an exciting time to be an entrepreneur in healthcare, I'd say.
It definitely is. Awesome. All right. Well, I'll take you to the rapid fire, then we'll wrap up. So let me know the first thing that comes to your mind to answer the question or finish the statement. Wellness means?
Oh, a good power nap. I'm a mom of four. That's all I can think of.
I know I'm stressed when.
Oh, I'm sorry. I missed what you said.
I know I'm stressed when.
Oh, my blood pressure is rising and I feel like I'm going to have a mini heart attack.
My go-to stress management solution is?
A warm bath with some relaxing music in the background.
Oh yeah, that sounds good. And what's one thing you learned about yourself during the pandemic?
Ooh, I should never be a preschool teacher. As I was for my children.
Yeah. I'm sure a lot of people can relate to that. A lot of people can relate to that. And what's one thing you would tell a new nurse practitioner coming out of school who wants to start a business?
Think outside the box. Don't follow the path of everybody starting their IV hydration practice. Think of something no one has thought of, like the oncology practice. Wendy, yes. You starting.
No, that is good. And if you could go back, I know you said you started a lot of different businesses. What is something you would do different?
Ooh, I would have, actually, I hate to be repetitive, but my first couple of businesses failed because I had no advisor, mentor help. Like, for sure, I can pinpoint that was the problem. I thought I had this great idea. I think the idea of actually what a few of the ideas were good, but without anybody giving me any sort of help, living in a, you know, doing it in a vacuum did not go, it did not end well for anyone. But looking back, like, hey, I could have actually probably made that work if I had just known a couple more things. Yeah. That I now know, but at the time did. So you learn from your mistakes, which is great. But yeah, don't be afraid to ask for help.
Ooh, that's a good one. Well, Dr. DePasquale, thank you so much for being here. And we'll have to have you back.
Thanks, Wendy. It was super fun. I really appreciate it. And everybody out there, make your business happen. It's a great time.
Thank you for listening. If you enjoyed this episode, please tell a friend. Before you go, I would love to share a free stress management resource with you. Go to stressblueprint.com and download your free copy of the 3 questions to ask when you are stressed. Until next time, go out and be your best, do your best, and give your best.
If you enjoyed podcasts like this, you should check out our other shows on Health Podcast Network. For example, Better with Dr. Erica, hosted by Dr. Erica, provides support and guidance in navigating stress-related challenges to transform your relationship to self-care. Each episode arms you with the tools needed to be better, do better, and live better. There was an incredible episode that you should check out called Touch and Connections as Tools for Healing and Better Mental Health. In this episode, her guest breaks down ways to use physical touch as a form of healing for trauma and grief. Check out Better with Dr. Erica on your favorite podcast platform or visit healthpodcastnetwork.com.